This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Waiver Wire Week 10. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizapia, and with me today, as always, is Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros. And guess what? It's week 10. Can you believe it? We made it. Double digits. I'm so proud of all of you. And our guest today is the Action Network's own Samantha Previti. She is joining us. You can follow us over on the Twitter machine at Fantasy Pros. You can follow her, obviously, at Samantha NFL. Samantha, it's time to press the guest, and we just had a fun show on the BP side of things, and I just want to ask you a question. Is there anything worse potentially for the Packers losing to the Lions than having to possibly lose to their old coach Mike McCarthy this coming week in week 10? Things are not lining up well for the Pack. What do you think?
No, ayahuasca Aaron is looking pretty bad this season. And I know that they've just been riddled with injuries, but it's honestly, I looked at that line and I was like, you know what, the Packers are going to lose this game. And I really should have bet it money line, honestly. But they're looking pretty bad. And obviously could be even worse with Aaron Jones injuring his ankle potentially.
The weirdest part is the money line wasn't even that much. It was like plus 122 or something. It wasn't even something. Again, I like to talk wagering with Samantha when we have her on the show because she's fun and she's good at it.
Top waiver pickups.
Here we go. Derek Brown, we are back again for another waiver wire pickup week. And guess what? It's an old friend returned. And I love when we start the show like this because, you know, I feel like the season has cycles and we're in another cycle here. And we're going to kick things off with a sleeper waiver wire ad of the week. And it's not just my favorite. It's also everyone else's favorite here. And it's somebody that was let go far too soon, apparently, from many, many rosters. And it was so sad. But guess who's come back again? It's Jeffrey Wilson Jr., El Jefe, as D-Bro likes to call him. It is a very exciting time again. Look, Jeff Wilson, now a Miami Dolphin. He knows the system. He's got Cleveland this week, a team that you know you can run the football against. Then a bye, then Houston after that. So for me, looking at a guy who's rostered in roughly 50% of sleeper leagues right now, there's no reason not to go roster Jeff Wilson Jr. Pick him up. We all know Mostert's injury history. We all know what that could end up being. We could also see potentially Jeff Wilson at some point maybe continue to be the goal line back as well. Look, it's a different situation. It's not San Fran, but there's a lot of opportunity here for Jeff Wilson. He's a guy you should grab and put on your bench at the very least. D-Bro, he is your number one this week. How much are you willing to spend on my boy, Jeffrey Wilson Jr.?
Open the bank. Open the bank. I put 10% here. And the reason why I'm saying open the bank, because if he takes over 60, 65% of the work here, and look, just the first game, Joe, and we talked about this on the DFS show, and I said, look, I'm willing to take a shot in the dark because he knows the system. It took him 1 week, baby, to outsnap Raheem Mostert 28-26. He ran more routes. He turned his 12 touches into 72 total yards and a touchdown. And that touchdown actually came through the air. So that's weird. I'm not sure if we're going to see another one of those. But the reason I'm saying to break open the piggy bank, use whatever fab you got left, is because I don't think that people really understand, Joe, that we talked about this league-winning schedule that stood in front of Raheem Mostert. That's still on access to El Jefe. So you talked about the Cleveland Browns. After that, he gets the Houston Texans, the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, yikes. The Chargers, the Bills, the Packers, the Patriots, and the Jets to close the season. Oh, my Lord. That is rushing production for days. So, yes, open the bank.
All right. So we're spending a lot there. Samantha, I know some people will look at it and say, well, you know, Mostert's there. He's got a bye coming up in 2 weeks. And maybe they're a little gun shy to go ahead and bid accordingly on Jeff Wilson. Do you think that's an error? Do you think that's a mistake if people don't do that?
I don't know if it's a mistake. I'm maybe not as high, but he is the best of maybe pedestrian crew here that we
That's
have to
very
work
kind
with.
Way of putting it. Thank you for being so kind to the other running backs.
For the waiver wire running backs. But yeah, cue the Undertaker gif where he just like comes out of nowhere and outsnaps Raheem Mostert. More involved. I mean, actually had all the involvement in the passing game. Mostert wasn't involved at all. He was the RB12 weeks 2 through 5 after Eli Mitchell was hurt. So we know he can be productive, but there are, I mean, as long as Mostert's on the field, I feel like this is going to be like a 1A, 1B situation. And I don't know how many games they're going to be in that they're going to score, you know, 67 combined points. So I do like him next week, though, to your point, against the Browns defense, which ranks bottom 5 in fantasy points allowed to running backs. And I'm pretty sure probably like bottom 2 in rush DVOA.
Yeah, let me tell you something. The most surprising thing was the pass catching, because I think that's the one part even Debro and I talked about on the Sunday live stream on the YouTube where, well, like even if Wilson gets some touchdowns, Mostert would probably still work at the pass game. That seems to be the trend they want to use in there. You know, half a dozen targets, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. Apparently that is not the case. That's not the way things are going. So very interesting times for the Miami backfield. Miami really making that push in what has become an incredibly competitive AFC East. Who'd have thought that would be what we'd be talking about? Not the AFC West. No, no, no. That's not what we're talking about in week 10. We're talking about the AFC East. So what a difference 10 weeks can make. All right, let's go to number 2 on your list. Although it might be pedestrian, there's still some guys that have some value. So with the running back position here, give me somebody that you think, Samantha, is your number 2 waiver wire at the running back position this week.
Well, look at my Carolina Panthers giving us some waiver wire options. Chuba Hubbard would probably be my second option for running back. He's 46% rostered on Sleeper, so he's out there in some leagues. I mean, he probably got dropped in a number of them just because he didn't play this week. Did practice in a limited fashion, though, so that kind of suggests that he's close, and it didn't seem like that ankle injury was super major, so like, let's rewind a week. He was actually named the starter once CMC was gone. He was outsnapped 27-25 by Dante Foreman, who ended up having the better day. But I think that, you know, like the fact that Foreman wasn't featured 100% here, we got Raheem Blackshear, like, you know, just off, I don't know, the practice squad and just in the mix very much. I think that that's kind of an indictment on Foreman and maybe a suggestion of how they want to run this backfield is more of like a split type situation. So I don't think that I'm not telling people to go out getting Blackshear, but because I think that once Hubbard is healthy, he should be at least the number 2 in this backfield, and the Panthers face Atlanta next week. So that'll be a fun matchup.
Yeah, possibly with a different quarterback, too. Sam Darnold looks like he is going to be active or at least available. Baker Mayfield getting back into that game. Who knows what's going on for the Carolina
know
Panthers.
If any of these options are upgrades, like it's really
I think
hard.
That's the trick, is you don't know if it's getting better or getting worse or staying the same until you get out there on the field. Who'd have thought that P.J. Walker would be the guy that unlocked D.J. Moore for a couple weeks?
Yes.
I mean, I did not have that.
That's all
on my
got.
Bingo card. That was not on the bingo card. I did not have that. All right,
Houston,
now, D-Bro,
Roughneck star PJ Walker. That wasn't on your bingo card.
No, it wasn't. It was not. All right, D-Bro, you've also got Chuba as your number two. He is 46% rostered on the Sleeper app. So in terms of spend, in terms of what you think he can bring, let's bring that all together here when we're talking about Chuba, because it does feel like there's opportunity for more touches. And of course, it's the NFL. So one injury changes the perspective and the calculus quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm not breaking the bank for Chuba. It's like 3 to 5%. I think that he could be the 1A because he was the 1A before he went out with the injury in this backfield. And the thing that I want to bring up about Deontay Foreman is this last week when we saw the Panthers just get rolled by the Bengals, well, really just rolled by Joe Mixon. When that happened, Foreman, I mean, look, he's a game script back. He got game scripted out. All these other backs got involved. And really what this says under the covers is that Chuba could be the guy that's game script proof. He's the one that we really need to garner from this backfield because, first of all, he was the starter. He was named the starter before he went out with the injury. Before he went out that week, the first three quarters of the game, he had out-snapped Foreman 22-14. And he was productive on the field. 11 touches, 73 total yards, and a score. So, I like Hubbard a decent amount, but the reason it's twofold because people could say, well, you're sitting here telling us to go spend so much on Jeff Wilson. Now, what's the big difference between Jeff Wilson and in a committee backfield in Miami versus Carolina? There's a lot of difference there. One, it's an amazingly better offense that can actually put up consistent points.
Can I 30 points a game? How about that?
Yes.
Can that be the difference? Can we put that one out there?
Scoring opportunities.
Sorry, Samantha. Sorry.
It's all about touchdowns, man. And that's really where I want to go. So Hubbard, while I like him and I think he's a good ad this week, it's only about 3 to 5% for me.
Okay. Is that about the same spend for you, Samantha, or you want to be a little bit more aggressive on Chuba because he was theoretically named the starter ahead of time and he did look good in the role before the injury?
Yeah, maybe slightly more aggressive because I think that maybe he could have a slightly better role to your point as the 1A. But also to your point, I understand if you don't want to spend on a guy on the Panthers offense because, yes, Jeff Wilson's going to be in a lot more positive game scripts than Chuba Hubbard. But my only thing is that at least Hubbard is, I think, more involved in the passing game, which I think they're going to be trailing a lot. So he might just get those touches regardless and hopefully fall into the end zone once in a while.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Monkey Knife Fight. No math, no salary caps, no sharks, just daily fantasy player props. They're offering a free $5 first game for new signups today at Monkey Knife Fight using the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's all one word, FANTASYPROS, at Monkey Knife Fight. Get 100% instant deposit match up to $100 on your first deposit. Again, use the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's one word, FANTASYPROS, when you sign up today at Monkey Knife Fight. And now, back to the action. All right, D-Bro, let's go for your number three RB ad of the week. Who is it?
So this one is one that I'm going to tell you just 1%. It's not going to take much because if he's still out there, people have not gravitated to him yet. But I want to be ahead of the curve on Kenneth Gainwell. He's rostered on 21% of sleeper leagues. And this comes down to Philadelphia. Again, we're buying into really good offenses. And the role that we saw Kenneth Gainwell operate in last week was the passing down back or the 2-minute offense. Like Gainwell, yes, he only got 7 touches, 38 total yards and a score, but we saw him two snaps versus 4 for Miles Sanders in short yardage situations. He had 85% of the third down work and all of the 2-minute work. So for a guy that we're talking about is in a high powered offense, the Eagles are going to put up points. If Sanders is even more regulated because they want to keep him fresh down the stretch and Gainwell can eat into the early down work and own all the passing down work, he's going to be valuable in this offense, which we're talking about is top 5 in red zone rushing rate. And they're putting up points by the bunches every week.
Yeah, he should be rostered in those 14 team leagues too already. Just to cover yourself a little bit. He's got some value outside of that. It's a good offense. All right, let's go back to you, Samantha. Give me another RB. Gainwell is 21% rostered, by the way. Give me another RB that is under that 50 mark. I've got one that's by a wide margin under that. Who do you like to add here potentially to maybe being proactive instead of reactive also?
Sure. This is definitely a proactive ad. It's Jalen Warren. He is 10% rostered on Sleeper. It's more of an indictment of Najee Harris right now and maybe the situation there, because he actually outperformed Harris before the bye, despite being outsnapped 54-22. So I think that those snap counts could actually end up shifting more towards Jalen Warren, especially with Harris's sort of injuries that he's dealt with throughout the season. And Warren has been more effective. I mean, he's 5.3 yards per carry versus Harris's 3.3. So that's a pretty significant difference. And that's a big drop for Harris. He was about 4 yards per carry last year, and he's on track for just 767 rushing yards this year, which is, again, a huge drop from 1,200 rushing yards last year. I feel really good about all the unders that I took, the season-long unders that I took on Najee Harris right now. But yeah, like, just Warren, I think, like, at the very minimum, he's a good handcuff to roster, but he could also end up just kind of having some standalone value if they want to kind of shake things up.
Yeah, and roster in just 10% of leagues, guys like Gainwell, Gunnelis, Warren, you know, if you can add them right now, if you've got roster room to spare, you know, we do have that Bye-mageddon part two coming up in a couple weeks, everybody. If you enjoyed this one, the sequel's coming in week 14, so just hang on tight. It's going to come back around for you. D-Bro, anybody else you want to throw any fab on at all at RB, just kind of before we switch gears here to the wide receiver position?
Bye-mageddon part two is kind of like Sharknado 2. You didn't really want to watch the first one, but you had to watch the first one, so you were going to go watch the second one. It's not pretty, but it's going to happen. The only other guy that makes my list is Isaiah Pacheco. He's rostered in 42% of sleeper leagues, and I know we've been bringing him up, but name the starter. If you're looking at the snap counts and the routes and all that kind of stuff for Kansas City, they were down this entire game versus the Titans. So all of that gets kind of thrown under the bus as far as what usually happens for Kansas City, and that's leading in games. If you look at Pacheco versus the other early down complement, which is Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he ran more routes, played more snaps than CEH, and the upcoming games, like, these should be games that the Chiefs are in positive game scripts. So, i.e. more work for Pacheco. They get the Jaguars, Chargers, Rams, Bengals, Broncos, just to name a few down the stretch. So for a Chiefs team that has the quiet starter who hasn't busted out with a big game yet, more cup positive game scripts are coming for Pacheco. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that needs to be rostered in hot, much more leagues than this.
I know, Samantha, we talked before the show, you know, we had a little Isaiah Pacheco conversation, and some of us all tinker with our lineups too much, and sometimes we throw guys in there and we regret. So I know Pacheco was a hot button for you, so I'm not gonna spend too much time. But Derek Brown is correct, was not the best matchup on paper. Is there still upside for Pacheco in your mind as the season goes on, because really nobody else has kind of stepped into that void, and it is a good offense?
I do agree that he is more of like the type of guy when they put things into cruise control and are just like going to run out the clock because they're up by a bunch. And honestly, I thought that could have been possible last night. I mean, Vegas thought that too.
I was the range of outcomes. Yeah.
Yeah. I live bet that one after the Chiefs went down, so that didn't feel that good. But yes, I did start Pacheco in thinking that the game script would have been more positive, and unfortunately that was bad. Yeah, so I think that certainly there are better days ahead for him. And with CEH's production coming predominantly from touchdowns, it feels, just less reliable. And it feels like they could definitely mix in different guys.
All right, before we move on to the wide receiver spot, I want to remind everybody there is a running back. Now, you can't pick him up off the waiver wire, but you can have a piece of Austin Eckler, and a signed autographed jersey can be yours if you go to fantasypros.com/contest. Remember, we're dropping reviews of the show, dropping reviews of the pod, so go out there to Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your pods, go drop a 5-star review, talk about the show, how much has changed your life and your fantasy season for the better, or at least giving you some laughs and giving you some entertainment at the very, very minimum, but a lot of good fantasy advice as well. And of course, when you do that, you just screenshot that, go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. And don't forget, if you want extra entries in, go follow us on the TikTok, on the Instagram, on the Twitter machine. All of those are entries as well at fantasypros.com/contest for that Austin Eckler jersey from our good pals at pristineauction.com. Let's find some friends in the wide receiver market here. And I am not surprised at your number one, D-Bro, because this was a guy we talked about Sunday. I had in a few DFS lineups because I trust the process that you and I go through every Friday. So I showed you some love. And Terrace Marshall was that dude. So let's talk about him. 11% rostered. Your thoughts on Terrace Marshall this week?
5% bid on him. Yeah, he's my top wide receiver. And this comes down to the Carolina Panthers offense. There is volume to be had in the passing attack. And I understand it's not the prettiest volume, okay? But volume is still king, and we're chasing it. And Terrace Marshall is a player that we do see in his second season. There's life here. He is talented. He's not dust. He's not terrible. He's not horrible. Like, everybody just wrote him off after an injury-riddled rookie season. Over the last 2 weeks, 22% target share. He was the wide receiver 29. And walking into Monday Night Football, he's the wide receiver 13 for the week. This is a guy you need to be picking up. He's shown productivity, shown efficiency. He's eclipsed 1.7 yards per out run in each of the last 2 weeks. And that first breakout game, oh, look at that. He gets a return visit with the Atlanta Falcons this week, so we know the secondary is terrible. So, yeah, I think Terrace Marshall is a guy that I was ranking as a wide receiver 3 this previous week. He's probably going to be in that same tier, low-end wide receiver 3 with some upside this week. So, yes, pick him up.
Any concerns with the tumultuousness at quarterback and his value?
No, it's
a legit question. I can't believe how Carolina Panther heavy this show has become, but it is what it is right now. So let's talk about it. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So how much uncertainty does that put in the market, and how does it affect your bidding on him potentially this week?
Oh, don't worry, Joe. We've been a lot heavy on the Panthers. We're about to go to another ugly team that has a sparkling record right after this.
Don't worry my pretty little bald head about it. How's that?
Yeah, that's fair. Mm. That's fair.
All right. Are you with done? Had more Terrace Marshall. I'm sorry.
I got nothing else. I was just going to talk about the ugly quarterback situation. It's bad. I get that, but he's still going to throw the ball, Joe. He's still going to get target volume.
All right, fair enough. Let's go, Samantha. Your number one wide receiver ad of the week is.
It's going to be Terrace Marshall as well with the quarterback situation.
There we go.
I literally just feel like it's, you know, how is this night different than any other night with the quarterbacks kind of just constantly changing? So. I don't know. Baker Mayfield maybe could offer a little bit more upside just because he may throw the ball a little bit more than we've seen. But it's like, you know, it's all bad. And we're just one step closer to getting CJ Stroud. But to your point, he had a really good game against Atlanta and had another good game against Cincinnati 2 weeks in a row now. Should continue to see the uptick in targets with CMC out of the picture. DJ Moore, obviously disappointing. 2 catches for 24 yards. It's cool. We see him, then it's like, and he's gone. It seems like Marshall is solidifying himself as the wide receiver too. So at 11% rostered, he's pretty widely available for a wide receiver too. I get that it's not an attractive wide receiver too, because the Panthers, but he did see almost even snaps with Moore, which I think is encouraging, 48-45. So I expect the Panthers to be trailing frequently, to have to be in some pass heavy game scripts, and he's got Atlanta and Baltimore up next, whose defenses are allowing the second most and fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers this year.
All right, Debro, back to you. Who's your number two wide receiver out of the week?
Well, speaking of, and I get the record is pretty, but the offensive situation outside of Saquon is not. We're going to bring up Wandale Robinson again. I think a 3% bid, 1% if he's out there in the leagues, you could probably snag him coming off a bye. He is only rostered in 45% of sleeper leagues, and yes, I get it was a dud game last time we saw Robinson, but before that, wide receiver 29, wide receiver 35. In PPR leagues, he has wide receiver 3 upside if he's going to get consistent targets on a weekly basis, and he's got plus matchups coming up. Like in weeks 11 and 12, he gets the Lions and Cowboys, who the Lions are allowing the fourth most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wide receivers, and the Cowboys, without Jordan Lewis, have Deron Bland, who... it's pretty bland. That's a bad dad joke. Good Lord. I wish I could take that back.
Get out.
83.
Just get off the show. Just leave.
Bad. It was all bad. Right. I should have just kept that inside my head. But yes, he's not good. 83% catch rate. So I think that Wandale Robinson can put up some really good games over the next 3 weeks.
All right. Wandale Robinson, certainly a guy who could be floating out on a lot of waiver wires. He is just 45% rostered, as we said. And so you're dropping about 3% on him. Samantha, who is your wide receiver 2 out of the week?
Yeah, I'm just going to group them together, Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson.
Could be the same guy. We don't know. We've never seen them in the same spot. Actually, we have, apparently.
I mean, you know, if you miss out on Robinson, Slayton is 11% rostered on Sleeper, so he's certainly widely available. I mean, the Giants didn't make any moves for a receiver before the trade deadline. Bad news for Daniel Jones, because he's going to roll with this crew of, like, Richie James and Wandale Robinson. But good news for the existing crew, at least for fantasy. I know Robinson, like, we put all of our trust in him last week, and he was a dud, and so were just all the Giants. I mean, really. But you know, with Kadarius Toney shipped off to Kansas City, it feels like those guys at least will see targets. I mean, Slayton had the slightly better day, caught 5 of 6 for 66 yards. I mean, they're sort of lower upside options as far as like wide receivers go, but I mean, it's lean out there, and I think that both of them could be in flex consideration with the Texans and Lions up next in weeks 10 and 11.
Isn't it amazing how Kadarius Toney's hamstring miraculously made rapid improvement over the last 2 weeks? I thought that was amazing. It's such good timing. Then it happened right when he got traded and he had extra time to rest with the bye. He's able to practice. I'm just so grateful, so lucky. I'm not bitter at all that he didn't play for the first 8 weeks of the season. Not bitter. All right, let's get to the next guy on the list. D-Bro, give me one more wide receiver you think is worthy of a look this week.
I'm going to stay in New York. I'm going to go with Darius Slayton. And I know we're talking about Wandale Robinson and with Darius Slayton, but I want to put a little bit of respect on Darius Slayton's name. And some of this is because I am an OG truther. I hyped Darius Slayton back in the day. And while we need to give a lot of credit to Brian Daboll for so many different things with this Giants team, allowing a runway for Darius Slayton to earn playing time and get back on the field and show that he is a talented player is another thing we have to sit here and give praise to Brian Daboll for. And I say all of this because with Darius Slayton, since week 5, first of all, he's logged 3 top 36 wide receiver finishes, wide receiver 22, 19, and 36 over that 4-game stretch. In that same 4-game stretch, he's a top 20 wide receiver in PFF receiving grade and yards per route run. So while the situation might look gross, Darius Slayton has been playing really good football. So I think he needs to be picked up. Again, I'm in the same spend range as Wandale Robinson. I think 1% to 3%. Again, if he's out there coming off the bye, then people are not valuing him highly. So go get him.
Yeah, and Slayton early in his career had a lot of touchdowns too. He was kind of the guy that Daniel Jones always looked for in the end zone. So wasn't a big volume guy, but he was a big return guy in terms of fantasy productivity because he had those touchdown looks and those targets in the red zone. Let's go back to you, Samantha, for another wide receiver to add in week 10. Who is it?
I'm going to say Mecole Hardman. And of course, I don't like to chase touchdowns, but this is his 3rd game in a row that's been pretty good. Touchdown in each of those games, actually 3 touchdowns in week 7. Caught 6 of 9 for 79 yards. He is the wide receiver 8 since week 6 on a per game basis. I mean, I get it, touchdown dependent type boom or bust guy, but he did post season highs in every receiving category. And if you're going to be touchdown dependent, might as well be on the Chiefs. So he's got the Jaguars and the Chargers up next, both below average pass defenses. So I think if you're desperate and you're in another like kind of buy NATO situation, he could be useful to pick up. But I'm not breaking the bank for any of these guys. I mean, Marshall I like, but Hardman, I mean, minimal bid, like 1 to 2%.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Auctions at pristineauction.com start at just $1, and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available, so you win signed authentic signatures at affordable prices. Just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for just $110. What? That's crazy. Deals like this are happening all the time on pristineauction.com, and they have just about every player you could possibly want, including Tom Brady, Mahomes, and so many more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certification of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item when you use the code FANTASY. Again, that's one word, just FANTASY, to be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register. So here's what you do. You go to pristineauction.com/register and use that promo code FANTASY, one word FANTASY, because there are deals ending every single day that you're missing out on right now. So go get to it. Again, that's code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. And now back to the action. All right, D-Bro, back to you here. Mecole Hardman available, by the way, in 47% of leagues on Sleeper. Still, actually, he's rostered in 47%. Pardon me. He is available in more than half. Your next guy up and final wide receiver for week 10 that you look to add, D-Bro, who is it?
So I'm going to give a caveat with this guy. And this is a player that it's a 1%, 0%. Like, you just get him after waivers because I think that's where you can get him at. In the sense that he is a guy that you could pick up, plug and play as a wide receiver 3 for this week, considering if you got buys, you got injuries you're dealing with, all these different things. And then after that, you can kick him right back to the waiver wire. And that's Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's only rostered in 35% of sleeper leagues. And the reason I'm telling you to pick him up this week is this is, again, we're talking about shootout potential. We're talking about secondaries that we've been targeting all year. He gets the Dolphins this week. And so since week 6, the Dolphins' outside corners have been in zone 56 to 57% of their coverage snaps. It's a good thing for DPJ. He's had 47% of his target volume against zone. He is top 28. He's 24th in yards per route run, 28th in PFF receiving grade versus zone. So I think that he can walk away with another solid stat line. If he gets into the end zone in this one, which if it shoots out, he's got a good shot at it, then he can eclipse even wide receiver 3 status for the week.
Does Donovan Peoples-Jones have a little bit more long-term appeal, though, with Deshaun Watson potentially coming back soon and Njoku not being around? I mean, maybe you don't want to get rid of him so quickly. Just throwing that out there.
I'm not against that. You can interest people
in that. I know you're not the biggest fan of Donovan Peoples-Jones. You've made that very clear on the show for 10 weeks, but it's about money, right? This is what we're trying to do. Trying to win.
I'm not going to sit here and shy away from the sunshine case for any type of player. I mean, it's fine. Let's go. Deshaun Watson, let's paint the upside scenario. I'm with it. Although I'm it's okay if you still punt him back to the wide receiver. I mean, the waiver wire.
All right.
35%. I like it. You're just setting expectations. So
that's right.
I'm just trying to be a realist. Joe is the nice upside guy here on the show.
I'm just saying, I'm looking ahead and I'm saying to myself, well, you know, Deshaun Watson is coming back. I mean, maybe what if we're all wrong? What if he's just the favorite target? What if that is not Amari Cooper after all? I mean, it should be Amari Cooper, but it's more because of the Njoku injury that I think it's more interesting to keep him around, because I do think there's going to be some other secondary option there in that passing game. And why not him at this point? All right.
And Harrison Bryan ate it.
So. Harrison Bryan ate it. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Give me the last guy. You paint a sunny picture for somebody at wide receiver. One more sunny picture, Samantha. Go ahead.
Sure. So I'm going to say DeAndre Carter. He's 31% rostered on Sleeper, another minimal bid. But, you know, he will be the wide receiver too if Williams and Allen are both out. Williams dealing with the high ankle sprain, so he's going to miss multiple weeks. Allen, midweek this week, they were saying he was saying that he was 100%. And then apparently suffers a setback. And I think that he's just the type of guy, maybe at this stage in his career, the autumn sort of stage of his career, that
he's
maybe
in the autumn of his years. Well, Frank Sinatra on the show today. Nobody expected that. I bet.
So that maybe, you know, it could be likely that he misses a number of games down the stretch. So it's going to be Palmer as the number one. He had a fantastic day, over 100 yards receiving. But Carter also had a decent day, 53 yards. He was questionable entering the matchup, too. So I will say that maybe in another situation where Williams and Allen are both out, Carter may have even a better day when he's at full strength. So week 10 matchup, not great against the 49ers, but just someone to maybe keep on your radar. I have a follow-up question. Do you guys, would you guys be picking up Odell Beckham?
Ah, let's save that, because at the end, it's actually one of our listener mailbag questions about Odell Beckham. So
how was I supposed to know that?
Well, it is in the show sheets, but it's at the very bottom. But that's okay. Derek never looks at them either. So
I don't either. It's okay, Samantha. This is a safe space.
I'm used to it. I just roll. You put your names in. You did your part. You did your job.
He sends them to me, and I'm like,
mea culpa.
Yeah,
no, it's
safe space.
No, but fun. I like that you don't look, because then you give your real answers and it hits you in real time. That's fine. I've accepted these terms. I actually have a question. I'll throw back at you before we kind of, you know, move on from the skill position guys, the running backs and the wide receivers completely. You know, Rashad White snap count and carry count got a little higher. I know the Denver Broncos guys, all that situation's out there. I know on Sleeper, most of these guys are still over 50%. But yeah, if those guys are floating out there, are you throwing any fab on Rashad White or anybody in the Denver backfield? Samantha, you first.
I don't mind Rashad White. I mean, the Denver backfield, I felt, I mean, it's every week is a different dude. Like, sometimes I feel good about Latavius Murray. Sometimes I feel good about Melvin Gordon. Now we've got Chase Edmonds muddying the water there in an offense that barely works. So, again, like, low upside type situation we're looking at here. So, I don't know. Like, if you really need a running back, like, Latavius Murray might be out there in, I don't know, like 60% of leagues or something like that. So maybe that's okay. And then Rashad White, yeah, I mean, like, the run game has been not super great, and they can't just keep leaning 100% on Leonard Fournette. So I have been waiting for the Rashad White breakout game. It's going to happen.
It's going to I hope so. I mean, I know Chris Godwin was supposed to happen. He got 5,000 targets for, what, 10 yards or something yesterday. Derek Brown.
But Cade Otton, finally.
But like, Cade Otton.
That finally happened. So, you know, I was just a couple of weeks too early on my Cade Otton love.
That's all going to come to fruition. Real quick, D-Bro, same thing. Denver running backs, if they're out there, Rashad White, if he's out there. I know they're higher rostered players, but we're talking about, you know, a lot of people had buys, a lot of people might have dropped people in certain leagues where they had no choice. So tell me, do you think any of those guys potentially are worth adding?
Denver? No.
I want just no part of wasting the time.
No.
All right, fair enough.
You can find more productivity. Rashad White's a high-end stash. I think you could put him in the same conversation as maybe a little bit better than Gainwell, but in the same kind of conversation as Jalen Warren. Same kind of idea. So I have no problems with him.
Let's stream the QBs. D-Bro, who do you want to stream at QB this week? Who's out there in week 10 you think might be worth?
Well, Joe, looking at the show sheet, you should be happy with this name. And I think me and Samantha are going to fight a little bit because I know her DST streamer is going to go against my man's here. And this is not actually my man's. This is Joe's love child.
I'm
crush.
Defending Kenny Pickett because I don't think Kenny Pickett's gotten a fair shake. Yeah, throw a kid. He's just a boy. He is just a boy. You're throwing him out there to the Bills and to the Eagles. It's not fair. Yeah. Give this kid, he's got the bye. Let's see what he does now. No more Chase Claypool. Mm-hmm. Let's see what he does. I'm just saying, let's see now. I think the second half could be better for Kenny Pickett. It's certainly better than Mitchell Trubisky. Anything's better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, that's fair.
They set the bar low there, so he has to be better.
Not
than
untrue,
Mitchell
but still better fair. Than Mitchell Trubisky.
It's fair. All right. And that's why
so
I'm
now
with you.
Wanna,
I think
now
it's
you
want to
hang out with me and Kenny Pickett. All right, go ahead. Tell
me
why.
Okay, for the week. Right. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm going to sit here and unpack the luggage and all that kind of stuff. I'm just, you know, it's a short stay, just one weekend.
Just to hit it and quit it.
Yeah. Donovan Peoples-Jones, you, Kenny Pickett, just, you know.
I'm just being real. Like, I don't want to put a ring on it, but you could stay for a little bit. It's all good. You know, so Kenny Pickett, I do like the matchup this week versus the Saints. Since week 6, the Saints have been a middle-of-the-road pass defense, 17th in passing yards, 18th in EPA per dropback allowed. And the thing that I think is helping or should help Kenny Pickett a lot here is that no matter what the Saints have done all season long, they cannot get pressure on the quarterback. And you talked about it, poor Kenny Pickett. He got thrown to the wolves multiple different weeks versus really good secondaries and teams that can pressure. That's not the Saints right now. Their secondary is in shambles and they're 27th in pressure rates. So yeah, I think Pickett can have a good game here.
I just talked about that on the BP show. I think that's the money line upset. Home underdogs. I mean, did we learn nothing about the home underdogs on Sunday? There's a lot to learn. Samantha, do you have a streaming quarterback potentially you would like to roster this week in week 10?
Sure, I'm ready to get hurt again by Daniel Jones.
I love that you phrased it. Not I'm ready to love again. I'm ready to get hurt again. So you know what you're getting into. That's important.
I mean, but that's the thing. Like, you knew that this game, once the fantasy community went all in on Daniel Jones, like, you knew it was still in the realm of possibilities that he just, like, blows up. And that's just, it's his worst fantasy finish of the season. I mean, yeah, it wasn't pretty. They didn't make any moves for wide receivers, so that's bad news. But the good news is that he will be well rested, fresh off the bye to face the Texans, who rank 30th in overall defensive DVOA. So I mean, the rushing yards are nice, over 45 rushing yards per game. I think he'll be a viable streaming option for, you know, if you have Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or something.
I absolutely love that way that Samantha framed that to begin with. It sounds like she's giving relationship advice, like to somebody in a bad relationship, just like, you know, you knew what you were getting yourself into.
You knew
this was part of the plan. Okay. So
I'm disappointed they didn't add receiver. I thought for sure when they added those other picks, I was like, okay, you know, but you know what? Here we go. We got to trust the process. Maybe they know what they're doing. Maybe they're just going to go and they're going to use those picks and continue to get younger and turn this organization. I'm like, hey, you know, Daboll seems to, you got to trust them. They're getting W's. They're figuring out. Everybody seems to love the guy. It's going well. We'll see if Daniel Jones is the guy next year. 41% rostered. Kenny Pickett, 17% rostered over on the Sleeper app. Let's get to the streaming tight ends of the week. Samantha, who at tight end, or do you want to stream in week 10?
There's actually a lot of tight ends that I like this week, which is very rare. I mean, for a position that we usually
say think, very often now.
Yeah, for a position we usually think is a hellscape, but Greg Dulcich, 38% rostered on Sleeper. Both of the tight ends on each side of the ball shine in the most recent London game, which in like what was otherwise a pretty dull affair. He caught 4 of 5 for 87 yards, tight end 8 for the week. And he is the tight end 4 on a per game basis since joining the team in week 6 behind only George Kittle, Travis Kelce, and Mike Gesicki. So I recommended picking him up last week, but I know a lot of people don't always have the luxury of picking up a guy that's going to be on bye. So certainly like this would be another option to pick him up. Obviously, I think he is like the type of guy that's not just a 1 week fill in. He could end up being sort of season long type value. I mean, he's everything that we wished Albert Okwuegbunam would be, which, by the way, I spent my whole offseason trying to figure out that guy's name and it didn't matter.
Oh, I feel your pain. I finally got it in August and now it doesn't matter. And it's just what a waste of energy and time that was. I'm glad somebody else feels that way. See, these are the things that go through the mind of the fantasy analyst community that nobody else understands. Dulcich, I'm surprised actually how quickly he's taken to the NFL, because that was a guy that I did not love the combine. I liked him in college. He looked good in the game tape. He looked good in games I watched him play. But in the combine, he did not dazzle, quote unquote, I thought. But it's nice to see him kind of work his way in there right away. And that's been a good thing here for this offense for the Denver Broncos. 38% roster is Dulcich. All right. Give me a guy for you, Derek Brown, who's a tight end in week 10 that has your attention.
Well, first of all, I love Samantha's call with Greg Dulcich. That was going to be the name that I threw out here. And then I was late to the show sheet and I was like, oh, that's so nice show to sheet. See.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, no. It's fictitious. It's not real. It's made up. But the guy that I want to bring up here, and we're seeing this offense come back to life, because apparently, trying to tell people, Justin Fields is actually good at football, Cole Kmet. And I'm not a prisoner of the moment with Cole Kmet. I get he's coming off a double touchdown performance.
He was great at Notre Dame. Not good. He was game wrecker great at Notre Dame, D.
Well, I think he's going to be good this week, coming up against the Detroit Lions, and it's not going to take much to get Kmet. He's only rostered in 21% of sleeper leagues. I think a 1% to 2% bid is going to get him on your team, and this is why I was so high on Bob Tonyan, and Aaron Rodgers had to totally just crapsack that, like just knocked it off the pedestal. Tonyan didn't do anything, but I think Kmet can fulfill that kind of promise. The Lions are 10th in receiving yards and 4th in receiving touchdowns allowed at the position. And so I like Kmet this week, and I'll also second Samantha's call on the fact that there are a lot of good streaming options. Like if you cannot get Dulcich or Kmet on your team, but Cade Otton is out there, I love her Cade Otton call, because he gets to face the Seattle Seahawks, who give up everything, all things to tight ends this week. And I don't think we see Cameron Brate. I think, honestly, considering the neck injury, we might not see Brate the rest of the year. So Cade Otton's another guy who's been, he's honestly been mirroring Dulcich's production. Like both of these guys have been top 12 tight ends whenever they've been starters. So if these two guys are not available, look for Otton on the waiver wire.
All right, let's move to the defenses of the week. D-Bro, you got to explain this one to everybody, because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions about this. So the defense you want to stream this week is who and why?
It is the Indianapolis Colts. And this comes down to the fact that Derek Carr is not playing good football. Derek Carr has not played good football the entire season. What's covering up for Derek Carr's bad football is Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs. But nobody else in this offense has stepped forward. And Darren Waller's been hurt. Hunter Renfrow has been nerfed. Mac Hollins, yuck. I think that the Colts can easily win this game, and people might say that's insanity, but here's the deal. Here's the secret sauce of how you stop the Raiders. They could stick Stephon Gilmore on Davante Adams because Stephon Gilmore is still really good at football and he has shadowed this year. Carr has been abysmal. And if the Colts can get to him in the backfield, I think they can get sacks in this game. They are quietly 12th in pressure rate. So with a lackluster set of skill players outside of Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams, yes, you can run on the Colts. But the other thing about this is Carr, we've seen him implode multiple times over his career. Colts can get the pressure to him and take Davante Adams away. I think it's going to be a long day for the Raiders.
All right, Samantha, it's to you for the defense of the week. Who is it?
Sure. I'm going to go with the Saints. They're out there in about three quarters of leagues. They were the DST one last week, though. I'm not overreacting to that. I mean, to your point there, Derek Carr just completely imploded. That broke an 81-game streak or something like that of consecutive games for Davante Adams with multiple catches. So that was very disappointing for anyone that had the Raiders that week. But yeah, so they're the Saints are facing the Steelers in week 10. Steelers are bottom five in offensive yardage per game, bottom two in offensive points per game, behind only the Colts, tied for the fourth most giveaways and tied for the most interceptions with the Colts and Patriots. They are the third best team to face for fantasy points allowed. So I think that they're a pretty solid streaming option, but I know I might face some backlash here.
That's all right. That's all right. Okay. You gotta be ready for the backlash when it comes. It comes all the time. So let's go to the top five waiver wire ads of the week for those people playing in those leagues where they have waivers process and no fab. Samantha, who are your top five ranked free agents this week?
Yeah, it's a leaner week, but of this pedestrian group, it's going to be Jeff Wilson, Terrace Marshall, Chuba Hubbard, Greg Dulcich, and whichever one of Darius Slayton and Wandale Robinson that you could get.
Yeah, but I feel like all five of those guys all have purpose on roster and potential on roster as the season goes on. So I
definitely,
again, these are the kind of weeks where people don't look at the waiver wire hard enough and they go, it's not super exciting names, but it ends up 3 weeks from now, you go, boy, I wish I picked up that guy when I had a chance because he was free. I think that's the difference. D-Bro, what's your order of guys? I know you have some of the same names, but you have a different order.
Yeah, El Jefe is the king. He's number one. Then Chuba Hubbard, Terrace Marshall. And then some of this after my top three get kind of roster specific. Like I've got Wando Robinson and Slayton as 4 and 5. But if you need a starter for this week and you're really just worried about upside to win this week, or it's like I'm out of it, like I've got no shot at the playoffs, I would be picking up Donovan Peoples-Jones over Wandale and Slayton. And the other caveat here is if you're hurting at tight end and it's like, look, I've got nothing out of the position or I've got guys on buys, then go pick up Dulcich, Komet, or Otten and fill the tight end spot. So after the top three, I think it gets fluid for me based off of what you need for your team.
Fair enough.
Keep or drop.
All right. Let's play a little quick game of keep or drop. I'm going to give you the name of the player, the roster percentage on sleeper, and you tell me if you want to keep or drop him. Gus Edwards, RB Baltimore, 61% rostered. Not looking like he is going to be useful this week, and next week's on a bye. Samantha, would you keep or drop Gus Edwards?
I'm okay to drop him. I think if you need to, that's fine.
D-Bro?
I want to keep him. If he comes back, I think he's going to sit here and be the lead back for the Ravens. 10 to 15 touches in that offense is still valuable, so I'm going to keep him.
All right, I went for a big name with a big number here. Damian Harris, 74% rostered. I feel like it's Ramondre's backfield now. D-Bro, do you still want to hang on to Damian Harris?
Nope. You can...
Really?
Bye-bye, Dame.
Salty on Mondays. Look at you, ready to go.
Hey, man.
Samantha, your thoughts, Damian Harris. It looks like you might be keeping him from your reaction to Derek Brown.
Yeah, I probably keep him, though I know it's been a tale of two seasons here. Weeks 1 through 4, RB17 on a per game basis. And then weeks 5 through 9, I mean, missed two of those games and his best finish was RB43. So not super great, but he is effective when healthy. I know Ramondre Stevenson, it does seem to be his show right now. RB8 since week 3, but we know Belichick can just flip on anyone at some point. And I think that he'll end up going with the hot hand. So if Harris ends up getting healthy, I think he will have some value.
All right. Cam Akers, 53% rostered. Keep or drop, Samantha?
Oh God. I literally drafted him. I had him as a keeper in one league. So I don't even want to say I drafted him. I know. All right. I know, but it was like so cheap. Like I got him.
I get it. I think that's a lot of people's response to it too.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've been keeping him on my roster maybe as like a self-flagellation type thing. Like this is what happens when you draft badly.
Wow. That's deep stuff right there. It's a deep
reminder. Like you pull up your fantasy team and you're like, bad choices were made.
See what you did? Exactly. Why don't you make better choices in life, Joe? Yeah.
That's deep. Comes back. There you go.
I like that. I'm okay to drop him though. Like I was kind of waiting to see if he would come back. I was kind of waiting to see how the Rams trade deadline stuff would shake out. But I mean, clearly he has soured everything and bit in the hand. So I don't have any faith in him. Five carries for 3 yards.
It's kind of a mess. Have you soured on Cam Akers here, D-Bro?
I can't believe he's actually rostered in this many leagues. So yes, no.
Well, I think he's just picked
it's
up
on
a lot.
Me. So it's also
hey, but you know what I'll take too? The L. I was talking about Cam Akers preseason too, so I'll own that L.
Do you know what it was?
It's been bad.
It was the fact, I think this past week, I think he got picked up again. I think after the trade deadline, a lot of people saw it and they're like, you know what? They got to go back to the well now. Their hand has now been forced, so people picked him up, and now they wish they hadn't. It was
that
a waste
well
of a
is
pickup.
Dry, the water is poisoned. Mm-mm.
All right, so nope. I know you didn't want to pick this guy up, but do you want to hold him? Chase Edmonds, Derek Brown, 49% rostered.
Joe,
my God,
I don't want anything to do with
deafening.
Chase Edmonds. Wow. I don't want anything. We needed
it's
the dramatic
over.
Pause.
Okay, it's over.
Needed the dramatic pause. It's time. It's time. It's gone. Bye. Bye.
Submit that to the Academy. Samantha, how about you? Chase Edmonds, keeper drop.
I mean, I can see a case for hanging on to him to see how the Denver backfield shakes out because they clearly don't. I mean, they don't love Melvin Gordon. He's had the ball security issues, though not so much this year. And Latavius Murray is what he is. Like, it's hard to get excited about a guy that old. So I think like Chase Edmonds, it's just like he could be the guy, but I don't know. It's an ugly situation. We talked about how low upside that whole offense is. So I understand if you need to cut him, but I think there could be a case made to hang on to him.
Derek Brown took personal offense to you. It's hard to get excited about a man that old. I just want to put that. All right, let's get the last guy here. Robert Woods.
I thought that was aimed at you, Joe.
59%. I look the same. It doesn't matter.
You're not taking hits from
thank God. No, I'm smart. I'm here. I take hits on the internet from Twitter.
What I take. Bad things happen when Joe plays football.
Even worse.
Joe gets Taysom Hillfinger.
59% rostered. Keeper drop, D-Bro.
Drop. You shouldn't have been rostering him for the last 3 to 4 weeks. So drop.
Samantha, drop too?
Yep, drop. I mean, last 3 weeks, it's just been absolutely miserable. And we got Malik Willis under center for God knows how long.
Nah, it's good. It could be another week.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's go to our listener mailbag straight from our Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. Of course, it's free to join, but as a premium member, you get access to AMA stages and a whole lot more fun. Let's get to Jermaine. Jermaine's question, should I use my number one waiver priority on Odell Beckham? See, I told you we'd get there, and we did. Samantha, your feelings on using that number one waiver wire priority on Odell Beckham?
No. I'm okay.
Wait, can we build this up for 30 minutes and that's it? Nah.
I just wanted to see awesome. How you guys felt. I mean, no, I don't.
That was awesome.
I'm not ready to go number one overall priority. I think there are better options. I would go Jeff.
Okay,
Wilson
would you add him? Okay, let's take away the number one priority.
How
would you
deep
add
of a league
him
are we talking? Like the 16 team league?
League.
Yeah, I don't know if I would add him in a 12 team league right now. Like it depends who would have to drop. It's really just roster dependent, I think, at this point.
Okay. And D-Bro, you know, if you're a 6-win team right now in a 12-team league, would you be adding Odell?
I'm gonna echo Samantha here. No, not gonna do it.
Look, we built all that up in people's heads. We teased them, then we let them down at the end. Or maybe we didn't. Maybe we helped them at the end. I guess that's the way
we're helping them at the end, because what it comes down to is in this week, and you can already check out the waiver wire article that's live on fantasypros.com, but like the wide receiver list, I've got about like 7 or 8 players above Odell. Like he's in the stash category because yes, he might be healthy this week or ready this week, but We don't know where he's landing. And what if he goes back to the Rams? Are we that excited that he goes back to the Rams, considering what they look like right now? I mean, like, I'm not.
I don't think he goes back to the Rams. I think he goes somewhere.
That's one of the three teams that he's been rumored to. It's been the 49ers, the Bills, and the Rams.
That's an easy rumor. That's true. He's been there, done that. It's time to go somewhere else. I think the only good thing in the Rams is he knows the playbook. He can go right back in, so they don't have that conflict. You know,
yeah. Quarterback. I mean, he's going to fight for targets with the alpha that is Allen Robinson, you know, so.
Right. I just think I don't know a scenario where I would take Odell Beckham over Terrace Marshall, for instance, if you really need a wide receiver.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm starting to think if you're a 6-7 win team and things are going really well and you're looking for a little bit of help at the wide receiver position, maybe in the playoffs, I get it, but it's very dicey depending on who you have to drop. It's very dicey. So there you have it. We did answer the Odell question. You could follow her on the Twitter machine at SamanthaNFL. And don't forget to also check out our fantasypros.com/contest for that Austin Eckler jersey giveaway. Go drop a review of the pod and go follow us on social media, on Twitter, on TikTok, and of course on the Instagram as well at Fantasy Pros. Thank you so much, Samantha, for giving us your time, especially early on a Monday. We appreciate having you on the show. We appreciate all of you listening. And if you got other people you want to drop comments in the YouTube channel too, don't forget to do that. Help people out with some other names. What do you think about adding Odell Beckham? We'd love to hear from you. Go ahead, go sound off about it. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Monkey Knife Fight. No math, no salary caps, no sharks, just daily fantasy player props. Free $5 first game for new signups using the promo code FantasyPros. 100% instant deposit match. $100 on your first deposit over at Monkey Knife Fight. Go play today and check out pristineauction.com/register. That's PRISTINE auction.com/register and use that promo code fantasy, one word fantasy, at pristineauction.com/register to go bid on your favorite piece of sports memorabilia today. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Samantha and D-Bro, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.